Yes, we have in studio a very special guest. Please welcome Scott Spicer, Communications Director for Donald Trump.
Sean Spicer.
Yeah.
A lot of liberal broadcasts don't get that right, but Sean Spicer.
I'm already screwing up. Okay, well, Sean, let's change that on the radioactivity. And by the way, if anybody wants to listen to what we are playing or just played, you can go to radioactivity.fm and find out. Like now. Sorry, Sean.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
You're going to tell us about these new appointments.
I'm so glad to be on your campus. I see that when I came into the student lounge, you guys were giving away the New York Times with the hullabaloo. I think that's, I don't know if that's such a great idea. It's a little fake news these days. But a little bit about me. I was a political Republican hack for about 20 years. I worked for different departments under different administrations. And I've been doing a lot of sucking up for years. And a lot of people thought that I was taking a risk by joining the Trump campaign early. But, a lot of my establishment Republican friends just realized that I made the right decision. We'll see. But, I love getting up in the morning and just doing what my president says. And we make America great by listening to Trump and doing what he says. So we picked the cabinet, and we're still not picking a cabinet fully, but we've picked the cabinet that the president can work with. And I'm going to go down the line to let people know. Some people have been pretty involved in the campaign selections and the cabinet selections. I was amazed at the dissent and the people's awareness. This is what democracy looks like. But but I will say that there's a few people that still don't know a lot about this cabinet, and I thought that I would be helpful to share some light on that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Let's hear a little bit about
some of these. Let's go right from the top. You know, we have the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. You know, Rex, his first name, Rex, and Exxon. He worked for Exxon, so it's like Rexon. Isn't that funny? His first name is E-X-X-O-N.
I hadn't thought about that.
And he is a lifetime Exxon. And what's good for Exxon is good for America. Doesn't people understand that when the stock goes up, when the price goes up, that's usually good. Oh, but there are times when the price goes up, populist America, a lot of whites blame Obama, and they blamed the former president when the price went up. But when the price went down, I guess they didn't give Obama a lot of credit. But right now, the price is pretty good. But we need the price to go up because that'll help Putin. And we want to have a better relationship with him anyway. But I think Rex, as you saw, was pretty friendly with Putin. And there's nothing wrong with that. Being friends, we're all trying to get along. So he's the Secretary of State. He's going to be in charge of diplomacy. He's got thousands of people in the Secretary of State's office that were not even aware of the visa ban, weren't even clued on different countries. And so I think that Rex is going to have to repair some of the damage from this last visa ban and work out other issues with other countries. But he seems like a cool, kind of down-to-earth guy. What else do we have?
Let's go for Jeff Sessions.
Oh, Jeff Beauregard Sessions. You know, just a lot of controversy around this pick. I thought it was not appreciative. I mean, let's just put it real clear. Your listeners are pretty smart. It's a college campus. But the point is, for the president, are loyal, dedicated people that stood behind him. And when you stand behind the president, you get a perk. So Jeff Sessions was early supporter, a senator that we needed at the time. And he has a good immigration stand that aligns with the president. And he was always there. The stuff in the past from 30 years ago, people change. I mean, I didn't think it was a great idea to stifle a senator like Elizabeth Warren on the Senate floor. That just brings the other side to have more power against us. And as you saw, the other men in the Senate did not get censored. So that was kind of interesting. But Jeff is going to be the leader of civil rights. He's going to be the leader of social criminal charges on issues like voter fraud and Black Lives Matter and police and Forbes. So we'll see how excited that is. And as you know, on the marijuana issue, he's going to be in charge of trying to dictate the laws between the states where it's completely legal, which we do support states' rights, and I'll have to get back to see what the president's position on this is, that they could still go to jail right now with the federal laws being in the books. And I think Jeff has made some comment like good people shouldn't be smoking marijuana anyway, so maybe that issue won't even come up. Maybe people will just ignore it.
We're going to see more incarceration under Donald Trump presidency and Jeff Sessions?
You know, if we have incarceration, that's a great question. I think that privatization is definitely coming back again. I think you're going to see a lot of that. Trickle down means that we don't need the government getting into the business of prisons anyway. We should have more privatization in prisons, and that would incentivize people making better prisons. Right now, privatization has shown that some of the prisons are, they cut back on food and staff and stuff. So we want to make it a prison that you could be proud of.
Right. We know how well that works. So let's go down the list. Who else?
Well, we have to get the inner cabinet.
We don't want to forget the inner cabinet.
Steve Bannon is his chief of counsel. Lord Voldemort, High Goomba. He kind of tells us what to do. Rhys Priebus is the chief of staff in name only. He's not, you know, it's basically we call him Rhys. I'm not driving the bus, Priebus. But Steve Bannon is an interesting character because only a year ago he was a kind of internet troller that basically catered to people that were excitement type of news that whether it's real or not. And then he got the ear, it seems, of the president and the vice president and some other people. And he's quite a go-getter. He knows how to win and get up to the top. Now, not only is he the chief of staff, grand high exalted mystic ruler, tells people what to do, but he's got a seat on the National Security Council, a permanent seat. This guy's an advisor to the president politically, but I think he did serve in the Navy for a couple of years, so that gives him some cred. But he's going to be even over some of generals, so we'll see how that works. But in terms of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, we haven't heard a lot from him. He hangs out with Ivanka. They live around the corner from Obama. That'll be interesting if they actually get together for coffee or stuff like that. And then we have Kellyanne Conway. Wow, his lawyer. You know, she's a lawyer, ladies and gentlemen. Kellyanne Conway. Me and her sometimes we rub elbows because I'm the communication director and I want to set the stage on truthfulness. And when she says something about alternative facts and about some other stuff, I think we just have to have one message on point. Now, speaking of one message, the inauguration, a lot of people thought that was really a lie, that when I said that, period, more people watched the inauguration and were involved in the inauguration than any president, period. Shut your mouth.
It was unbelievable.
People didn't like that comment. But I stood by my president because the alternate facts that I used was that the amount of people on the internet, the amount of people trolling, the amount of people from Russia maybe hacking, the amount of people that are listening because they wanted to see about the protest the next day. And there was a few people out there next day, so I'm sure they were listening to the inauguration to see what was going on. And then
What about those protests up there in Washington, D.C.?
We like the scent.
Record inauguration protests.
We support the scent, and that's a healthy thing. I don't appreciate Madonna saying she's thinking about blowing up the White House. I don't think that was appropriate, but I do say that let the games begin. You know, we're in charge. We won. I mean, Obama says elections matter, and they sure do. They sure do. On the voter fraud issue and the amount of people that the president says may have voted illegally, we're still going to check out. We're going to have a top investigator, the guy who has a radio show that I don't know his name, but you may have heard about him. He spews a lot of theories on there, and he's been the one telling us about the amount of dead people on the rolls and amount of fake news and fake voter fraud. But I would say that if we really wanted to have some voter fraud, we should have had more votes in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan to make it more of a landslide instead of a little bit more of a nail biter than we wanted. But the Electoral College is what matters. And speaking of a mandate that we have now, a mandate because of this election, Betsy DeVos, the education secretary.
I was just about to ask.
I think she really shows us the kind of mandate that we have now to dominate it. Overwhelmingly support from the United States and the Senate. People say, well, it was, you know, very close, 51-50, first time in history that a vice president had to break the tie on a cabinet selection. This is supposed to be somebody that the president picks and everybody kind of works together. But a lot of Democrats just couldn't get along with working together with us, and that's a shame. I don't know why they won't work with us on the Supreme Court pick. I don't know why they won't work. Some people say it's because of some stuff that happened in the Obama administration. I mean, let's just stop crying over spilled milk. Let's just move forward. But with Betsy DeVos, you can't pick a more person who is so zoned in on an ideology on education. She has been spending her entire life adjusting and replacing certain schools to try to help children. That's what she wants to do, help children. And a lot of the help she gives is in her private homeschool classes that she is invested in. And she also has a nutritional company that actually helps kids with ADD and other medical issues, mental issues. And you're familiar with mental illness, that if you just eat some of these foods and you spend $2,000 with this company, the kids will show an improvement. And we're going to look forward to seeing how much money she can save on that.
Yes, I've heard the ads on another radio station that I won't mention. They play those ads.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the divesting in those companies, because if they're doing well and she wants to donate to charity or donate to the Republican Party, she has donated about $200 million to the Republican Party. That could have been a good factor in her getting us selected. But whatever, she won, and Trump likes winning, and we like winners. And as Trump said, every one of my picks will be confirmed. And that's going to be a tough one. But I have to say, Ben Carson, confirmed with no problem as the Housing Urban Development Director. The guy, even though he's learning on the job and he may not be that competent at what's going on, he made a very clear point, is that a lot of Republicans believe that we need to reduce the amount of people on assistance. And I think that some Republican senator asked him, what's the best thing you can do with a mother and children, low income, on housing assistance? And Mr. Carson appropriately said, well, the best thing I could do, sir, is to get her off of assistance, get her off the rolls. Kind of that's what our goal is. So I think we're looking forward to programs like the EPA, the FCC, the Department of Labor, and Department of Education, and HUD that will be systematically destroyed. Curtailed to save money. And I don't know what we're going to do with the money that we save. We may hire. No, there's a hiring freeze right now on the federal government. So I don't know. We may build up the military a little bit better. We have to hire 15,000 border patrol agents. That's what people
are. Oh, right, the wall.
So, but we want that wall built with good jobs. And we don't want just, you know, cheap Mexican labor building it. We'd like to have, because that could be a problem. But if we had, you know, good jobs that were made for building the wall, but in some ways, we don't want to be a country that builds walls. We want to open doors. And we're having a working lunch today with President Trudeau. I may have to go back for that quickly to
Prime
make sure
Minister
that there's not
Trudeau.
Any screw-ups. Because Trudeau has had some liberal leanings. And I think he actually knew some people in the Muslim Brotherhood that gave him a chalet for vacation. But we'll have to check on that issue. I mean, if Trump curtails the Muslim Brotherhood and calls them a terrorist organization, could have some more issues. But it is great that Saudi Arabia and several other countries that had some terrorists in the past are not on the ban. So, you know, I think that's the kind of thinking that we're going to look forward to with Trump. Back to some of the picks.
You're listening to WTUL New Orleans. This is the News and Views Show, and we have a special guest with us in the studio today, Mr. Sean Spicer, Communications Director for Donald Trump. President Trump, I guess it still feels a little weird to say that. New president, President Trump.
I don't know why it's weird to say. It's that because maybe he has never held public office and he has no experience, but he is the president, no doubt. This is what he wanted. He wanted it when he was the reality TV show The Apprentice. And Obama thought jokingly that you got better things to do with your time, which is worry about The Apprentice. But as you see, he doesn't spend a lot of time. Once in a while, he will tweet about the show, and he wants to know how's it going, and he wants to know about Ivanka's lines. But most of the time, he's focusing on being president.
He doesn't tweet. Maybe he'll tweet about our show today. So we talk a lot about energy.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Rick Perry.
Energy injustice here on the station, and because we live in Louisiana, which, of course, we know that we have a lot of environmental challenges. So who is the new energy secretary, and what's that person going to do for
Rick Perry,
us?
As you know, the governor of former governor of Texas, in his campaign when he ran for president, he wanted to eliminate the Department of Energy, and then he forgot one other department that he wanted to get rid of. But he did say he wanted to get rid of it, and that goes right to the same pattern of several agencies will be cut because their director's job is to start to destroy it or cut it, because that's going to save money. But then we found out with the energy secretary, he's in charge with nuclear weapons. So this is kind of important. So Rick Perry has got to bone up a little bit more on that, and I hope that he will actually do a good job. On the issue of the EPA and the issue of protecting our environment. Now, Scott Pruitt is an interesting character. He was the former attorney general of Oklahoma. He sued the EPA 13 times, and now he's the head of EPA. He hasn't been confirmed yet, but there were 656 earthquakes from fracking in Oklahoma. And he knows a lot about the environment now because that happened and because he allowed fracking. So he's very on top of crisis management. He's had to deal with that with the people of his own state, having to deal with these earthquakes that could be involved directly or indirectly with fracking.
Yes, but the people that create disasters then are experts in how to consult about disasters. Didn't we see that in New Orleans recently?
Ms. Hayes, you couldn't be more right about that. We want to put people who have screwed up the system to put them in charge.
Yeah, the consultant on a hurricane disaster or something after the Hurricane Katrina. Who was that?
Blakely.
And
also,
Ray. Oh, I think it was. Yes, I think it was. Yes, that's exactly
Ray
right.
Reagan.
Former Mayor Nagin and Ed Blakely are both doing disaster consultation.
And Ray, you know, really, I just want to say this right now, is that we don't think he should be in jail. I would like him out tomorrow. The president, he may pardon him, but if he does, I want him to clean the building of City Hall, because they're making $7.25 an hour. And Donald Trump didn't pay those workers. That was Mitch Landrieu. So there is a lawsuit against Mitch Landrieu. A friend of mine named Dave Capasso has actually filed that, and we'll see how that goes. But getting back to Ray Reagan, in terms of the fact that, you know, before he was mayor, he was the CEO of Cox Cable. And, you know, he got that because of his high qualifications of being a dark-skinned, wealthy businessman. And so he made $320,000 as the head of Cox Cable, a monopoly that controlled the access and the prices. But the new head of the FCC follows in those footsteps. I mean, a man named, I believe his name is Ajay Payet, P-A-I-T. You haven't heard of him? Well, don't worry about it. You'll be hearing about him soon.
I think it's Ajit Pai.
He was a Verizon attorney. Does that say something about it? He's got some qualifications of no regulations on corporate cable. And in 5 days on the job, Donald Trump is very proud. Even though Donald Trump campaigned on the populace, working people, and to have more access to the broadband, this man has cut all access to broadband for low-income people. He's cut the subsidy for affordable cable. And he's not going to allow any restrictions on cable companies. You know, like we wanted cable companies to say, if you do this marketing, do this, you have to provide services. Now, there's no more of that. They can do whatever they want. And that's going to free up a lot of these guys to eventually lower the price. Some people call that trickle down. I don't call it that. I don't like that word. And then neither does the president. But we'll see how it actually affects people in terms of it. I hope that community groups and other people speak out on that issue. But in terms of incompetence and the type of picks, it just seems there's a pattern. The left seems to say in the New York Times with their fake news that the picks themselves were exactly opposite to the job of what the pick is supposed to do. Now, you may have a point in talking about some people who are not qualified, but I will say that the Veterans Administration pick, I was not happy about it. It was a former Obama pick, Dr. David Shulkin, but we were not going to pick him, but it was an overwhelming supporter for the veterans, the disabled veterans. He understands PTSD. He is the only Obama pick that's still in the administration. So you got to commend us for picking somebody from the Obama administration. So that's a guy that actually we'll have to watch a little because he may actually do his job competently, and we can't have that.
And
too
for
much.
DJ Sleepalot wants to know about dogs. What about the agriculture secretary?
Oh,
Sonny
man,
Perdue?
Man, you hit it on the head there. Sonny Perdue could not be more qualified. His family has over 90 years of agriculture. Frank Perdue, his father, in raising chickens, hundreds of thousands of chickens. He was the guy actually injected chickens, started to do the chemicals in it to make them plumper, fatter, whiter. So you get those white breast meat pieces that are really poison. But now, with the regulation and coming back on chickens and the activism, we have seen that the chicken industry has been curtailed and stuff. So I think that Sonny Perdue may want to roll back some of those regulations. And you know, our new policy with this president says if we add a regulation, we got to get rid of two. So that'd be real interesting which ones we get rid of. But Sonny Perdue is all about agriculture, all about knowing how to deal with mass production. Tyson Foods are his buddies, and some of the other craft.
Oh, that's the Hillary Clinton. She was attorney
it
for
is.
Tyson Foods.
Thank you. And I want everybody to really listen carefully to this, because when you want to get up in the morning and think that your president is really a lowlife and he's not really representing you, you've had to deal with a president like Barack Obama and Bill Clinton that sucked up to many people on Wall Street because they felt that they just couldn't be strong enough to really take them on because they would be considered radical, a little more socialist. But Donald Trump has no problem sucking up to Wall Street. As a matter of fact, when he said drain the swamp, we're taking everybody out from the Democrats and we're bringing in our people from Goldman Sachs, from some of the other people. The head of the SEC now is an old Goldman Sachs guy. The CEO of Goldman Sachs, I forgot to tell you, Janet, the CEO, Gary Cohen, this guy is incredible. He's now been picked to head the Economic Council as the CEO right now of Goldman Sachs. And we got Bannon, a Goldman Sachs guy, or the Secretary of Treasury. If anybody's listened and didn't listen to C-SPAN, you really got to get on C-SPAN. It gives you some great news and some great stuff. But if you go online and hear the hearing confirmation of Steve Mungin. He doesn't like me calling him Mungin, but I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I think it's Mungin. But one thing about Steve Mungin, he knows how to be
communication,
efficient.
Communication.
Yeah, I'm the communication guy, but sometimes
you're going to have to learn.
I'm going to have to learn his name. Well, many people who is listening remember that Steve Mungin, he was so loyal to the president. He raised millions and millions of dollars as his finance chairman during the campaign, and he got that job after he foreclosed on 40,000 people during the bubble. He actually made it an art form when he was the when he was involved in a hedge fund and the bubble was going on. You know, Donald Trump even said that if you got to take advantage of the housing crisis to make money, that's America. So we got a guy right there who did what legally he was allowed to do, and we're looking forward to how he manages our money.
Well, Mr. Spicer, it has been a pleasure having you on today. We are out of time. Is there anything you would? I wish we have to have you back to run through the rest of the appointments. But is there anything you would like listeners to know before you head off to?
Well, I really would appreciate if students just go back to your books, go back to your fraternity parties, and don't worry about the president. We're going to be just fine. But if you're going to have to do some dissent and stuff, try to do it. Not as a vocal and outspoken, but I will tell you that for those folks who really want to get it on Wednesday, the 22nd, Senator Cassidy is going to have a town hall meeting at a library in Metairie from 3:30 to 4:30. See, he cut it real tight because he doesn't really want too many people to show up. So get there early. And if you want to say something to Senator Cassidy about how great Trump is doing, or you have some questions about health care, we're not going to really replace Obama. We're going to repair it. That's going to be the new call letter, and we'll see that. So get ready for that. The healthcare that you have right now is, it could be better, but it's for the healthcare corporations that are making such profits. But just the 22nd at the library on Napoleon and Metairie, and Senator Bill Cassidy from 3:30 to 4:30. Please be there and do some more activism and educating yourself on these picks, and keep an eye on them, because this is going to be a wild 4 years. But this is what democracy looks like, I guess.
Thanks again so much for being on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Democracy Now! And announcements for the week. And you're listening to WTUL New Orleans, the News and View Show. Thank you for listening.